morning, everyone, and welcome to The Art of Peace, a podcast bringing peace to your neighborhood through the airwaves, powered by the International Peace Youth Group. Here at The Art of Peace, we aim to create a platform where we can have discussions with people from different backgrounds and organizations to help foster mutual understanding and promote activities that are building sustainable peace in our communities. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back once again to The Art of Peace. Today is our fourth installment of our series that we have been going through lately about diving into each lesson of HWPL's peace education curriculum. This is so that we can understand some of the key points about how it works, as well as hopefully pick up some useful things that we can put into action for ourselves. So, I would like to once again welcome my friend and colleague Dwayne, who will be joining us today to continue with us on our epic journey through the HWPL peace education curriculum. Welcome, Dwayne.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's great to be back here this morning and, for another episode of this amazing show and incredible curriculum as well.
So great to have you. So just to recap our lesson from last week, Dwayne walked us through the third lesson in the peace curriculum, which is what broke peace in the world of humankind. And basically we talked about the relationship to peace and order, and how order in the world has been disrupted, leading to violence and conflict because of one thing, and that was greed. But it's not all doom and gloom, because there was a remedy to that, and it started with love. So what do we have in store for us this week, Dwayne?
Thanks, Matt. So this lesson follows quite nicely from the previous one, and it's called The Restoration of Order and Relation in the Human World.
That's great. That actually flows on perfectly from, you know, that's great. That actually flows on perfectly from our last week's lesson, which what broke that order and peace in the human world. So before we talked about how order had been disrupted, leading to conflicts. And so now we're going to be learning about the opposite of that, how we can restore that order. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And through restoring the order and relation that exists between all humanity, we can have peace.
That's great. I'm really looking forward to that. But it's also a big task to take on. So where do we begin?
Well, just like in some of the earlier lessons, we can start by looking at nature. Now, in nature, order is hidden, right? So scientific laws, such as the law of multiple proportions, in which elements combine at different rates to produce various substances, or like the law of gravity discovered by Sir Isaac Newton, reveal the invisible order that exists within nature. So we can look at the example of DNA, right? So living beings like animals, actually any kind of living being, has different kinds of DNA in their genes. Mm-hmm. And DNA produces certain characteristics of species and objects with different sequences, and slight alterations in DNA and the structure of the DNA can result in quite large effects and even like death and crippling defects. And another example of this would be the shape and the orbit of galaxies. So on quite a different proportion, the scale of the universe is also really like immeasurable. So there are about, I think, 200 to between 200 and 400 billion stars in just in our galaxy.
It's quite a few. It's more than one.
It's an unfathomable.
that is very true.
And there's an estimate about, you know, 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. So I'm not very good at math, but if you can think about it, it's a huge number. Exactly. So another example could be the shape and orbit of galaxies, right? So this is on a whole new scale.
Yep, especially compared to DNA and things like that. It's from one opposite to the other. I like it. Small to gigantic.
Yeah, and it's crazy because the order of nature still exists on this scale as well. So I think there's about between 200 and 400 billion stars just in our galaxy, and there's an estimated 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. So I'm not very good at math, but I'm sure it's a massive number, right?
Let's not work that out. It is a huge number. Huge number.
And the shapes of these galaxies tend to be elliptical or spiral-like in nature. And there are often also black holes that exist in the center of a galaxy. And it is believed that the entire galaxy orbits around, you know, the center. Also, just in our solar system, it orbits around the Milky Way galaxy at about 223 million years intervals. And when taking into consideration the age of our solar system, it's orbited about 25 times, believe it or not. So some astrophysicists will tell you that while the universe seems to be chaotic, the more the secrets of the universe are unraveled, the more orderly the universe or the cosmos actually we find it out to be.
Well, DNA versus galaxies, both huge and small, microscopic even, in their scale, and at two ends of the spectrum. And I know that the Peace Curriculum lesson talks a lot about the Fibonacci sequence as well. We're not going to go deep dive into that today, though. I don't want to focus on that. I just want to sort of focus, and this is sort of supposed to be a focus of the lesson overall. So we won't dive into that, don't worry. But it all relates, and that's something that the HWPL Peace Education Curriculum is trying to get across, is that all of these different things, whether it be on the huge scale of the cosmos and the universe to the smaller scale of DNA, it is all linked, right?
Absolutely, right. So even like you were saying, from the smallest scale, from like a subatomical scale to a cosmological scale, which is like the universe, there's this like invisible order that exists. And we can see that all nature operates in this harmony or balance or order. And actually the nature of this order is closely linked to survival or protection of whatever structure is taking place. And in fact, there's no order towards destruction and annihilation. But if we think about, for example, like a natural ecosystem, it exists in perfect balance to sustain itself and the life that it is within it. And this relates very closely to peace.
That's awesome. So what does this mean for us? If we can somehow figure out how to maintain order amongst ourselves, will this mean peace for us as well?
Yeah, actually, that's exactly right. So just as there's order in the natural world, for everything in nature to peacefully coexist, the order of humanity also plays an incredibly important role in maintaining peace. So when the public order is broken, like conflicts and disputes are inevitable, society becomes chaotic and lives can even be threatened, as we discussed in the previous topic.
Mm. And we see that all around the world. So what does this order in humanity look like? Could you give us some examples?
Absolutely. So to break it down and put it simply, where there are humans, there is this potential for human order or disorder. And the order of humanity is necessary in all relationships, from individuals to families, schools, workplaces, residential communities and countries. Basically, if humans are to peacefully coexist with other humans, they need order for it to happen.
Yeah, makes sense.
And let's take another example. If we think about the beginning of life for us humans, every individual begins in their mother's womb, right? After we're born, we meet our caregivers, then grow up within a family composed of siblings, relatives, couples, and other children. And family is the most basic unit of community in society, right? This is quite widely accepted.
Yeah.
And order needs to exist within this also. So it's fair to say that familial order, or the order within a family, is the first encounter that an individual has with human order or societal order. And it can play a huge role and can impact their lives quite drastically.
But what about different cultures and religions? So is this idea of human order consistent, or do these different contexts or lenses sort of shift people's perspectives?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, So just from my experience being involved in HWPL's Dialogue of Scriptures, talking to leaders from different cultures and religions, it's really apparent that this order takes place in a different way, and it's common to expect differences.
Mm.
But actually, there's so many similarities as well. And I'll give you a few examples. So in the Eastern Asian region, or the Confucius cultural sphere, there are specific ideas about family order that are taught. For example, parents must be a model for their children. A husband must be a model for his wife. The younger should be, and the younger should give precedence to the elder,
mm-hmm.
right? And another example in, let's say, the Christian culture, if we look in the Bible, it says to honor your father and your mother. Another verse says, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And finally, we can see in the Quran as well, which is the root of Islamic culture, it says, there's a verse that says, be dutiful to your parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age in your life, say not to them a word of disrespect, nor shout at them, but address them in their terms of honor.
That's really great. And I think what you've shared with that as well is showing that human order, that family order, is still at the core of many different cultures. And obviously, I'm sure, you know, if we were to get real nitty-gritty about it, we could probably find some exceptions. You know, there's an exception to every rule. But here are a few good examples from more well-known cultures, and, you know, and obviously in some of these we're looking at particular religious backgrounds as well, who have that family order deeply rooted in their, for use of a better word, scriptures or doctrines or beliefs. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's part one, which is all about the order of humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So before we continue, we're going to take a quick break. This is What Is Love by Hadaway.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about world peace, essentially, but we were talking about it through order and the order of nature, the order of humanity, and things like that. And we touched on a few of the different aspects of the order of humans, but there was a few other aspects that I was thinking about during the break that I wanted us to talk about. So we have the order of the family and that unit, and that's great. And that's definitely one of the biggest examples that we have for that. What about some of the bigger examples of order within humans and society, you know, such as the UN, for example? What can we say on that sort of stuff as well?
Yeah, so that's a really good, valid point to make, Matt. So the United Nations is an international committee, for lack of better words, basically keeping countries responsible and accountable for keeping peace in their own countries. And so they are held accountable by these international laws. So if we think about peace, that an order that needs to exist on a family level, or from that basic level, well, in order for families to have access to that or education, they also need to be encouraged and governed on an international level. And so we have like a grassroots level or a bottom-up approach, as well as a top-down approach from the governmental level downwards. And both of those are essential in order for peace to be maintained. And fortunately, that's where the DPCW comes in.
So what you're talking about is the work that HWPL and IPYG and people are doing in this field of spreading the peace work, right? And with this grassroots approach that you're talking about how, for example, the HWPL peace education curriculum, how it is coming from that grassroots level. We have people learning about peace and how it can be implemented practically from not just kindergarten level, but also primary right through to university. Mm-hmm. And that's the grassroots, right? Because they learn it at school, at university, they take it home, they share it with their families. But then you're also talking about how we have that top-down as well. So this is also working through the United Nations and other governments as, on the local level as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So it's through these two spheres, basically, that we're talking about, right? That we have the international level of the United Nations, but also we have that on the local level, right? We're talking like local governments, councils, etc. And then also from right through from the grassroots level. So these are some practical ways in which order of humans and order of society can sort of come about, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so following on from that, it's if we look at the state of the world as it is, it's pretty hard to argue that the world is ordered.
Yeah, I mean, you're bang on. You know, while the natural world might be ordered, actually, human existence or human society, there's a great deal of disorder that appears. Like, we just have to look at the statistics, like 3,400 years of recorded history and only maybe 268 years, I think it is, which is about 8% of that time is where human history remained in peace. So even since the Second World War, which has happened quite recently, there's been wars and conflicts and you know, battles that have taken place. And the UNHCR figures, they state that the number of war refugees now is excess of 71.4 million, which is quite a painful reality to try and comprehend.
Yeah, it's really tragic. And especially it's sad that despite all of the advances we've made as a society, right, we still have so many young people who are losing their lives in this armed conflict overseas and things like that. But to bring it home to New Zealand so that it's a bit more relatable for us as well, so that us as New Zealanders can sort of understand, we are also not free from this conflict. But instead of it being an armed conflict, it's a conflict within our minds. It's the mental health war that we are losing. And we are losing. The youth suicide stats in our country show us that we're losing. the men and women suicide stats in our country show us that we're losing. So then we are too, here in New Zealand, we too are also affected by this war. How do we attack it? How do we, for use of a better word, yeah, how do we attack it? How do we resolve this?
So that's a really good point that you bring up, Matt. And what is the answer to peace? Well, it's the restoration of order of the human world through heavenly culture, right?
And can you elaborate a bit on that heavenly culture? If you could, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's a lot of misunderstandings when it comes to that word. And to explain what it means, well, just as the sky or the heavens is borderless, right? There's no sort of subdivision. When we look at the sky, we see it as a continuous thing, like atmosphere. And the divisions are created by human society, right? But it doesn't exist like that in the natural world. In the same way, peace should also exist like that without borders and without limitations. And it's not to say it belongs to any religion. Although it might sound like it has a religious connotation, it's not the case. But it's describing the nature of peace, that it is borderless. So just as each country has their own culture, which is valuable to offer, heavenly culture refers to the harmony of all things, right? The order of all things seen above can be described as heavenly culture. And everything in heaven or the sky and earth recognize diversity and coexist harmoniously. Yeah, and so going back to the ecosystem example that we had at the start, just as within an ecosystem you have several different organisms, in the same way, our world with the different cultures and religions we are, when it works in harmony, it creates this order, this heavenly culture that is only achieved with the balance of understanding each other and moving forward together.
That's awesome. And I think that's a really amazing image too. Like when we think about and see a lot of our cultural festivals that we have, you know, whether it be the Chinese Lantern Festival or Diwali, you know, they're celebrations of culture, right? And so what you're talking about is how heavenly culture is almost like that, I guess. It's a celebration of these cultures. It's bringing them all in. That's a really great example. I love that example of an ecosystem and having them living harmoniously alongside each other without having these various different conflicts and things like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. And we'll find out more in chapters 5 through 12 of the curriculum, more about the character of peace and how it can be restored. So we'll talk about that in upcoming points. But it's really interesting to know that it can only be restored if we work together like an ecosystem.
That's awesome. I like that. So getting down to our next big question, and I know this is something that we both have gotten a lot, and everybody who does this sort of work would, but can peace really be achieved?
Well, it has to be, because everyone is affected by war, right? There are no winners or losers in war, because everyone loses out. Even if you, let's say, and I say in quotation marks, win from a war, it affects yourself through PTSD, or people that you have lost. And of course, for the losers in war, it affects them quite directly. But what about the people who don't even engage in that war, right? Think about the climate effects from the production of weapons or for the fallout from war. It affects those even living on the other side of the world. And because we all live on this earth, it will affect us in some way. So to answer your question, and the question that we get asked quite commonly, can peace be achieved? Yes, it can. Actually, nothing can trade the cost of life. And peace isn't just a story for others, but it must be the work that I do. It must be my own work, right? And also, it's not impossible, because everyone wants peace and everyone can contribute even a little bit towards peace. Even if we think about the example of the ecosystem, even if we do our part, it can have effects affecting other people across the world downstream.
I like that. It's really true. And like you say, because we're all a part of this, essentially this ecosystem of peace. This is, you know, we can all be a part of that heavenly culture, that culture of, you know, the heavens that is by its very nature all-encompassing of the whole world. We can all be working together for it. And it doesn't have to be huge, you know, even simple things like one of the things that we spoke about at the start was family in our families. We start there. And then that behavior gets modeled through to our siblings or our kids or grandkids or whatever. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that about does it for today. Thank you so much, Dwayne, for joining us again today. I really appreciate the time that you've taken to join us this morning. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much once again for having me on and for the audience for having to listen to my voice.
What are you talking about, man? It's great. Awesome. So that concludes our look into the fourth lesson, our discussion based around that. Next week, we'll be looking at the fifth lesson, which I believe is the starting, like you mentioned earlier, of looking at some of these characteristics of peace. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you are too. And yeah, hopefully you'll be joining us next week.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome chapter, a series of chapters to get into.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Well, thank you all so much for being here, and we'll see you all next week.
See you.
You've been listening to The Art of Peace by IPYG. Special thanks to our peace family at the International Peace Youth Group and Planet FM Public Access Radio who make this happen. If you have any questions, you can hit us up at The Art of Peace NZ on Instagram. Join us again next Monday at 9:05 or visit the Planet FM website under The Art of Peace page to listen anytime, anywhere. Until next time, peace out. Say, but you can learn how to play the game.